Live and local, this is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Well, not really, but thanks for joining the show tonight. We've got our substitute lineup in this evening. Don's a little under the weather tonight, and we certainly wish him the best at home and hope he is recovering and getting better. And no, I did not say something to give him a heart attack. So, you know, everything's cool. He'll be fine, and hopefully he'll be back with us next week. And Bobby is, of course, tied up in his usual Wednesday night in St. Landry Parish. It's becoming quite an adventure for Bobby in St. Landry Parish. But we're here, and that means that Bruce Brown is here with all of his input. And tonight we're going to get into the preps with Bruce a little bit and pole vaulting, which Mondo had a pretty good weekend.
Pretty good.
Glenn Quibido is here. We don't know what Glenn's going to get into, but, you know, he'll get into something with us. I'm Tom Brown, and tonight we're pleased to have Mr. Dan McDonough join us, Hall of Famer. He's got more jobs than the Jamaicans on In Living Color.
And since I'm taking Don's place, I'll try to be curmudgeonly.
Yes, you can. You can be
I'll do my best there.
Ask Don.
And you can be conflictive also.
Yes.
You
know? The king of multimedia.
I can do that.
But anyway, we want to take your calls tonight. Please feel free to join in. The phone number is 337-706-0111. And that is the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Boy, I passed down the Ardco Equipment place. They got some big machinery over there at Ardco Equipment. But it, once again, it's 706-0111. Feel free to join in and give us your opinion. We'd love to argue with you and disagree with you. But we're going to try and touch a little bit tonight on the UL Raging Cajuns, the LSU Tigers, the Saints, the prep schedule as it's going and what's developing there, and whatever else may come up. So who are we going to talk about first, Glenn?
Talk about the Cajuns.
We're going to talk about the Cajuns, that's right. And we got the guy here tonight, Dan McDonough, who pretty much streams every sporting event that's done at UL. And he's seen the Cajuns.
You know, I get next Wednesday off.
Yeah, that's right.
Because you know, we normally do the games on ESPN Plus, but this game is going to air nationally on ESPN2.
What are you going to do with yourself?
The Plus crew gets, you know, we sort of get pushed out of the way. So hey, okay, I'm free next Wednesday night. I'm going to be sitting watching a game almost. Well, I won't be watching it as a spectator. I'm sure somebody's going to find something for me to do.
You won't be idle.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I've never seen you idle.
Mary Beth will have you distributing stats on the second level. You know,
I can do that.
You'll probably do a sidebar for the advocate, right?
Eventually, but, I mean, it's a late game, so you know that it's not going to be in the print edition anyway. The next morning. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's the way the newspaper business is now. So, you know, but it, you know, I'm sure I'll eventually get around to doing something for them.
Well, the Cajuns are on the verge of a historic season.
When's the last time a home game was this big for the Cajuns?
It's been a while. Maybe the
A&M,
the Arkansas State game with Brian Mitchell.
I'd go back to the Arkansas State game.
Yeah, I think
probably for a game that meant something. I mean, you can always turn back and look at, like, the Alabama game and so forth, and, you know, the Oklahoma State game, Texas A&M game, you know. But for something that actually means something to you down the line, as far as winning a conference championship, as far as, you know, locking in the bowl you want, I don't think there's been one. I go back to that Arkansas State game.
Yeah, where he made the two-point conversion, there was a penalty, and he made it again on the second one. That was a great football game. Great football.
But, you know, you look at Sun Belt conferences. Why do you schedule App State and UL, who played for the championship last? Why the hell do you schedule them on a Wednesday night?
Because you can be on national television, and you're the only game on TV. That game will be watched. That'll be the most watched Sun Belt football game of the whole year.
Yeah, all across the nation.
All it's going to be on ESPN, too. Because it's the only game in town. You're the only game on. That's why it's there.
Woo.
So we're going to get some people out there, Dan?
Oh, do you want me to get started on a rant?
Well, no, he wanted to open.
That I'll get
just
started on a rant.
He kind of just wanted to slip through that door and see what happened when he opened it. So go ahead. I know you want to. You want to get on it? Go ahead.
Oh, I will. I personally, I guess I need to make a, I'm not a graduate of the university here. I don't know how many people know that. I did not graduate from here.
Okay, that's
we can tell by the way you talk.
No, he's making he's making a disclaimer, which he needs to do.
Yeah, that's a disclaimer. I'm not a graduate from here. But I did start working here in 1980, and I've been around that program for, it's now 40 years.
30 years, yeah.
It's now 40 years. This is far and away the best football team that I've seen here in 40 years.
Really?
Come on.
I have no question about that. I have no doubt that this is the most talented team that has been here in those 40 years.
They've had
individual talents. Brian Mitchell was a superb individual talent. Jake DeLone was a superb individual talent.
When we won the Big West, we weren't that talented?
I don't think so. I think this team, top to bottom, 90 guys deep on the roster, I think they're more talented because they're able to bring people in. They're able to sub those – you know, those number two defensive guys now are now to the point that they're right there where the number ones are. And that's why they're having success. They're all fresh. When has this program ever had three running backs like this?
Oh, I don't think one thing we were going to talk about. I don't think they've ever had – they've had great running backs, but not three at one time.
Not all at one time.
One, two, three punch. Like
no.
I look at Trey Regis. Trey Regis leads the country in yards per carry right now. 9.7 yards per carry. He's like 10th nationally in total rushing. Think what he could do if he was only playing more than a third of the time.
Well, get tired. Yeah, and but that goes back to this may be the best offensive line for them to be doing.
That was going to be my next point. This is the side of that offensive line where Robert Hunt and Kevin Dotson are.
Uh-huh. They block out the sun. Huh?
Oh, yeah. And they're this.
Boots getting in there with one, huh?
They do. All that being said, I'm embarrassed at the crowds the last two home games. I think it's a tragedy. I think it's ridiculous.
What was the attendance?
17-4-1,
and
I think
that's an embarrassment. 17-6 the other.
You know, there are people always saying, oh, we want to play, we want to be a big-time football program. We want to do this. We want to do that. You're not showing up.
Yeah, you remember the line that Bobby Dower had when he got on McNeese fans? He said, McNeese fans' loyalty begins and ends at the corner liquor store. I never forgot that line. And, man, he caught hell, but you know what? People started showing up after they realized, you know, you're probably right.
Well, I think people are running out of excuses. You know, I've heard all these excuses before for not going to football games here. You're running out of excuses now. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, you're not playing. You're not very good. You're 4-1.
You're 4-1, and you're playing basically for a conference lead.
And I tell you what, and if you go, I think a lot of those guys would probably like to go back and play Mississippi State again now, the way they're playing right now. That all said, you know, and they went on the road and beat two pretty good football teams.
Yeah.
Ohio's going to win their half of the MAC. Georgia Southern's still going to be in the hunt in the other side of the Sun Belt, I really believe. I don't know if they're as good as Appalachian State, but they're going to be in the hunt.
They won 10 games last year, didn't they?
Yeah, they won 10 games. Yeah, I mean, people come like, oh, well, concessions cost too much. I got news for you now. You can get a dollar dog and a $2 16-ounce beer now.
Yeah, but in fairness now, it's time to say we have the product to offer. We don't have the $1 hot dog so much. Because they were hyping those $1 hot dogs more than the team.
That's what you have to do. That's how you get people in the stands. Jeez. But, you know, all of it is talking about, and the university talks about all this, and it's a cliche about the fan experience. The fan experience is pretty darn good. The student experience is pretty darn good. They're giving away T-shirts. They're giving away stuff there. And, you know, to get people to come into the game. I don't know if you – I'm glad they're doing that. But I don't think you – if you're out there and you claim to be a Cajun fan, that shouldn't be an issue. If you're – I'm going to get something or so forth. Yeah. You know, what's the excuses now? I'd like to hear people's excuses.
Well, you can come up with an excuse just about any time you want to.
People can call 706-0111, the article hotline, and – Tell us what the excuses are.
I hope so. I'd like to hear what people's excuses are.
There's the tried and true argument about Texas Southern and Liberty.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly.
You need to get the program to the point that it doesn't matter who you play. if you're going to come see the Cajuns,
people
play.
Should come watch you. Not worried about who you play.
Exactly.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's one thing. Yeah, but you still have to overcome.
Liberty hadn't had a losing season in 14 years.
I'm proud for them.
They're pretty good.
This is a bruise, man.
But everyone across the country does this the first couple of weeks of the season. Yeah, I mean, they're either playing a money game or they're playing someone they can beat until they can get their feet rolling and get themselves up and get coordinated. You know, no matter who you played, no one has stopped this offense.
And let me say one more thing. Liberty's athletic budget is bigger than UL's.
Yeah. Think we have a caller?
No, we don't. We don't have somebody on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Want to kind of drop this one in when it comes to just trying to create the interest of the fan base. I think nowadays, and the guy's halftime regular caller to the station saying basically you don't really see much of it on social media. You don't see the whole like in-game experience. You hear about it, but you don't get to see. Oh, hey, what's going on? You don't hype it up as much because you remember back a couple months ago with the Popeyes chicken sandwich. Everybody saw it on social media. Popeyes didn't have to advertise anything for it. The social media drove everything that direction, and it wound up working out really good for them.
Yeah.
You definitely can't go on social media without seeing something about a game, an upcoming game, or a game that's played. But I understand what you're saying about maybe taking some footage of the experience as a student or the experience on the home side and showing that in those posts on those social media sites.
But if you're going to take those kind of teams, and I think you'll agree, if you're going to take Texas State and you take Liberty, that nobody really cares about either one of them, why don't you bring Southern back? Why don't you bring McNeese back?
I'm sure they've tried.
You think?
I know they've tried to get Southern again.
Well, that's a if you bring those in early, yeah, you're going to get the 20-plus crowds. But you bring in Southern, like Texas State, that everybody,
Texas Southern,
that everybody knows, hey, they're supposed to win by 50. Who's going to want to go to that unless, like you said, they're a diehard Cajun fan and nothing else matters? We go on tailgating. It could be that. Looks like we got a break.
Yeah, we got the music playing in the background. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. 706-0111 is our hotline to join in the conversation, and we will be back with more right after this timeout.
To Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Oh, that's the damn. He's got Jimmy Buffett on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The parrot head is in the house.
Oh, you remember that?
Welcome back to Five Guys Stories and Lies.
I won't soon forget it. There,
Margaritaville has to come on later. Right.
Yeah. I think we'll play it during the second hour.
Okay.
You know you can't get margaritas now at the concession stands too at Cajun Field.
I thought you could.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can.
Yes. Yeah.
Beer and margaritas.
There's three or four options for adult beverages.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just beer.
It's also a reduced price, if I'm not mistaken, for the ladies' night for the Cajuns game this coming Wednesday.
Yes, it is. It is ladies' night.
Just for ladies, or can we get reduced price margaritas, too?
You get them to go up and get it for you.
We can identify.
Some like $3, $3 white claws.
I identify as a ladies' night margarita man.
That's right.
We're talking about the UL Raging Cajuns, if you're just joining us. 706-0111. We'd like to know what you think about the crowds at Cajun Field and this 4-1 Cajun team, which is on the verge of a historic season, actually. Things keep going like they are. And you were talking earlier, Dan, about you think that this is the best top-to-bottom team talent-wise. There's been some pretty good Cajun teams now. That team back in Augie's first year with all the JC transfers.
Yeah, but that was a good team across that number one unit.
Yeah.
This number two and number three unit is better than any, I think, that they've had. And I think that's why they're better, because they're not as susceptible to having one injury just decimate your season. Imagine if imagine if a Brian Mitchell had gone down.
Right. But stop right there. What happens if Levi Lewis goes down?
Jave has looked really good. I like that guy. I liked him in the spring game. I watched him in the spring. I don't have any doubt that he can step in and run that offense. Will he make mistakes? Probably, but I wouldn't be concerned with the quarterback situation if something happened to Levi.
Because I don't think that they're being asked to do too much in this system, particularly when you've got a running game like you've got. You know, I'm watching the game and I'm expecting, you know, Trey Regis to get the ball because it's third and two, and he gets it and runs 48 yards for a touchdown. You know, it's like, I'm like, nobody's going to catch him? Isn't he our fullback? They're all fast and they're all powerful.
Yeah, they've never had a trio like this. That's why they have, that's why I think if, you know, if God forbid something does happen to Levi, I think that, I don't think that it's doom and gloom. And I think that's the only position where there might be a significant drop-off. I mean, a guy like Jamarcus Bradley, I mean, look how good he's playing out at wide receiver. They've got other guys ready to go. They've got Fred. Look at Peter LeBlanc jumping in. Nobody thought he was going to play at all this year. Suddenly, you know, he's right there in the thick of things. They've got a lot of guys like that that are making an impact as far and just young, young guys.
How's the depth on the offensive line?
That's the other place that might be a question mark because those guys are so good. Those guys on that left side are so good. If they, you know, if they go down, I don't think they'd be in as bad a shape as they were last year and definitely not as they were 2 years ago. They'd still, it'd still be a drop off there. But, you know, I think that these guys, you know, they've got so much depth now that they did not have in the past.
We've got a caller. Who we've got, Clint?
We got in the ARCO equipment hotline right now, Michael, and he has a reason why attendance is down at Cajun Games.
Okay. Hi, Mike.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good. What you got for us?
Hey, Glenn, this is Andrew's dad who plays baseball with your grandson.
Oh, hey, how you doing? Good to
I'm
hear from you.
I'm doing good. Well, you know, attendance is down everywhere. I mean, I just sit in my house and watch them on TV nowadays because every game's on TV.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Oh yeah, that, they,
there's
yeah.
no doubt.
No question that college football has been hit hard by attendance. Attendance is down a lot of places. You know, but you've got something special going here. I think you need to take advantage of it.
Well, I just think you need to support your local team also.
Okay, let him talk. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, another reason for me, I have three kids, and I don't know if sports was the same back in the old days. Every weekend, we're doing something.
Yes.
With all this travel stuff here. And
Right. But, you know, you were talking about television, and we were talking, didn't we talk about that at lunch? We were saying,
yeah.
College football is going to get just like horse racing at Evangeline Downs. You can go in a clubhouse, and there might be, what, Dan, four or five tables, where that used to be 50 and 60 tables. Well, hell, they can watch that online. They can go to a betting parlor. So people aren't going to the venues like they used to. But you're absolutely right. Probably next Wednesday night, I'll probably be watching that game at home. Now, I know Bruce is gone, Dan's gone, Tom's gone. But I'll probably be sitting on my couch, you know. So you're absolutely right.
Well, you know, I used to.
You there?
You there, Mike?
It's got to be such a hassle to get there. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, we got you now. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, like the LSU game, it's just such a hassle to get there.
Oh yeah.
Night, it's fine.
Yeah.
I'm getting too old, I guess.
Saints game is the same way.
I don't know if y'all going to talk about this tonight, but I want to. What do y'all think about the? This deal in California where the players are get paid for their likeness. I think it's going to end up ruining college sports.
Well,
good topic. We were going to talk about that eventually. But, let's talk about it now. If those of you that have not heard it, the governor there is putting into effect basically that college athletes can be paid for endorsements or for their services, their likenesses, everything. So they'll be able to make money while they're in college. And we were talking before, I agree with Dan, that's not going to fly with the NCAA. They can do that all they want in California, but, Dan.
Yeah, but the kicker is, hey, you can, there's nothing out there that says you can't give, okay, you know, you have a player at your, you know, in your athletic program. There's nothing that says you can't give that guy, oh, we're going to pay you $50,000, come play. Not a problem. That's not an issue. Catch is, you're never going to be eligible for any NCAA event the rest of your time.
That's it. Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, I don't care what California
does.
Well,
it'll wind up in the Ninth Circuit.
Well, it doesn't matter.
He can sign an endorsement. He can get paid for his likeness. He just won't be eligible to play.
Well, look, NCAA is a voluntary group. You as a college don't have to belong to the NCAA.
Look, I've said this a million times. I don't agree that an athlete should be paid to play because he's having his tuition, his room and board. Everything is being paid for. He's having private trainers to train him. He's having all of this, which amounts to a lot of money. However, I don't think anything is wrong if you're going to put my jerseys out there with my name on the back, that you can't put some money aside in a trust for me later on. I don't have a problem with that. Now, there's not that many players involved there. So it's not become a recruiting tool because, like Burrow, nobody would have bought his jersey before last year or this year. But now they're making millions on his jerseys. Well, I don't see what's wrong with taking a little bit of that money that the university's pocketing and put it in a Joe Burrow's trust.
Well, I keep going back to this. A scholarship when we were in school and what the student athletes are getting now are two wildly different things because they have access. You know, they get – it's not just a scholarship. There's a definite difference in the scholarship and the actual cost of attendance. UL is paying the actual cost of attendance. That's their option. They can do that. The larger programs are doing that. A lot of smaller programs not. Some Sun Belt schools are not doing that. UL is choosing to pay that. That means that you can, you know, you will get, you know, you can get a clothing allowance. You can get all of these type of things that were not legal as far as scholarships not that many years ago. There are a lot of things that are going on. There's a needy student athlete fund. If you have a legitimate need for something, clothing, transportation or something, there's a fund out there. You can get that, and it's all perfectly legal. That's all, you know, that nobody talks about that when they talk about scholarships.
No, I agree. But this is not scholarships. This is a likeness.
Yeah, but you're supposed to be in school to get a degree. That's what you're given a scholarship
but that's
for.
Not,
that's the point. That,
that's
the craw, the tick in my craw about it. Okay,
we'll talk about it after
the break. We'll talk about it after
the break. Mike, thanks for the call.
706-0111, and we'll be back after the break.
They're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
That's one of our favorite lead-in songs. Five Guys Stories and Lies.
I thought it was later than that.
We're going to go to the phone lines in just a second. It's 706-0111 is when we do have a caller waiting. Before we go to that caller, I wanted to get my 2 cents worth in on this topic.
Drive-in show.
Okay. What?
Nothing.
No.
Look, my thing is this, and Dan was just telling us in the break, less than 2% of college athletes go on to a professional sport. They're there to go to school and get a degree so they have that to fall back on. That's my opinion, okay?
What's that got to do with giving them a percentage
because
of their jersey?
Because they're supposed to be there to go to school. That's what the scholarship and UL to the tune of about $8,000 a semester.
That's fine.
Okay?
You got it wrong. Okay? I didn't say.
I'm saying that I don't think that it should be that way. That's what I'm saying. They are there to go to school, and this is an extracurricular activity. The problem is that the culture nowadays is let me do what I can to get to the pros.
Okay.
That's what it is, okay?
Okay, but when I sign my scholarship my senior year in high school, it says that UL or LSU or whoever is going to provide me with an education, room and board, and incidentals. It says nothing about you're going to use my name to make millions of dollars on a jersey.
Well, that's marketing.
All okay. right. Well, that's separate. And what I'm saying is give him a cut. Give him 2% of what you make.
Well, let's get Brandon involved in this and see what Brandon thinks about that. Brandon, you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Good, man. I enjoy the show. I just want to make a few comments and then I'll hang up and listen. The first thing is, you know, if a student academically wise is on a scholarship, he goes into the marketing department and comes up with, let's say, an app. And, man, it all of a sudden makes millions. Then the school all of a sudden can't say, well, hold up, you can't make money just because we put you on scholarship. And the second thing is, you know, with Chad Jones, you know, LSU made a ton of money off selling the number 3 jersey. I mean, he pissed in the College World Series. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's supposed to have this big, bright future. All of a sudden, he gets hurt in a car wreck.
Right.
If he could have had this likeness deal, he could have made probably a lot of money as a guest speaker at a high school when he was at LSU. And I think it's hard for a lot of these lower-income kids to deny that kind of money. They come from nothing, some of these kids. And to tell them all of a sudden you got to turn away $10,000 or more, even less,
yeah.
I think that's hard to do.
It has
I just want to make a couple of comments, and I'll hang up and listen.
It has nothing to do with the scholarship. It has everything to do with paying for the extras. And the extras being, we're going to take your name, and we're gonna use it, and we're going to make millions on it. I don't think there's anything wrong with giving the guys that are, there's 85 guys on scholarship, right? There's not 85 jerseys, LSU jerseys, for sale. There's only, what, maybe 6 to 10, all right? Those 6 to 10, they earn something. You're taking advantage of it. There's nothing that says that I gave you the right to use my name, but they're using it. Or maybe there is some language
in there. Well, there is language in there now.
That they can use. Well, they probably did now that they realized they made money. We got another call.
Yeah, we got Ken on the line who wants to kind of keep this conversation going.
All right, Ken, tell us what you got.
Yeah, thank y'all for taking my call. Yeah, I disagree with y'all. I think the parents should be paid. When you look at the NCAA making billions of dollars a year.
Well, wait. Paid how?
Describe.
Yeah, what you were talking about paid now. You're talking about instead of a scholarship, you pay them? What you going to do, pay them each $100,000 a year?
But the days of this three hot macaque crap is over with. You see why California has made that rule and others states will follow this. You're going to see in the next few years this domino effect is going to happen. Whether we like it or not, it's going to happen. Well, because these players are tired of this foolishness, man. You got coaches making $7-8 million, $9 million a year and then profiting off who? The players. The players are the one that make the stir the drink.
The players?
Okay, let me say this. Let me say this. You as the athletic director, you're going to pay that yet football player, whatever, $50,000. Let's just throw that out as a figure. You know you're also going to pay that field hockey player the same amount. You're going to pay that guy that runs the 800 meter the same amount. You're going to pay that golfer the same amount.
What are they going to generate for you?
Where is that money coming from?
If you had LSU, your big schools, they got the money to do that. That's
what does that do for the rest of us? What does that do for the rest of us?
I think if you went over and asked those guys if they can suddenly pay every student athlete on that campus, you know, $50,000, they'd be bankrupt in a year.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm not putting a price tag on it. I'm just saying they should be paid.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but they should be paid because these coaches are making gazillions of dollars and the NCAA making billions of dollars. Yeah. And all of a sudden you say three hots in the cot is good enough and shut up. No, I don't believe in that. I respect, that's why California is changing that law. They're changing. And the other schools, just watch what I'm telling you. If the domino effect is going to happen.
Well, let me ask, why did
7 out of 14 SEC athletic programs lose money last year? Answer me that.
Well, and what you're doing is you're putting the emphasis on money and taking it away from education, which is what school's about.
But, yeah, and this is a question I have. Let's say you even go to a ridiculous figure like we're going to pay every football player $100,000 instead of a scholarship. Okay, well, then that student-athlete that you just signed, he's going to pay the full cost of tuition? He's going to pay all his meals? He's going to pay all his doctor bills? He's going to pay for all that personal training that we're giving him. He's going to pay for all of that. He may not be able to come up with it on the money that you're being paid. So what do? If you're taking that away, and we were just talking about the Holstein kids going to Harvard, you pay him $50,000 a year instead of a scholarship. That's getting him nowhere.
He goes
Harvard.
In the hole.
He's still coming up with a lot of money because he can't afford the scholarship.
You're looking at a handful of people that have the opportunity to cash in on that, and you're basically destroying an entire college sports system, basically, because you're going to pay a handful of kids this money, and no one else is going to be able to afford to have teams anymore.
You know what? Somebody needs to do a study. I haven't seen it yet. But the actual cost of attending school at, say, LSU, Alabama, whatever, the cost of what it costs to live in those fancy domes with those terrific locker rooms, because you're gonna have to pony up if you want to be in those locker rooms, like being at Reds or being at a small fitness club. You're gonna have to pay to do it. You know, when you come up with what it costs for all of that, what it costs for you to eat in the dining room, basically where you can eat whatever you want whenever you want. You can go see the best doctors in the world. Doesn't cost you a thing because they're all alumni. They're going to treat you. You got to pay for that. I'd love to see what the cost would be. And there's no athlete out there that can afford it. So then you just blew that up.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you even though you don't want to look at it this way, you have to look at it as business management. And from the standpoint of, okay, let's say it costs $8,000 a year to go to school on your scholarship. You decide I'm going to live off campus, okay? Well, okay, so now we're only going to give you $6,000 because $2,000 of that was for your room and board, all right? What are you going to pay in an apartment? $700, $800 a month?
Well, let me give you a crazy example of that. What is the University of Washington in Seattle? Or it's not Washington State. Who's in Seattle? What university?
Washington. Yeah.
Okay, so
States and Pullman.
To use your, because I just got back. So to use your example, okay, paid athlete. Well, okay, I'm an athlete. I signed with Washington. Well, coach, I'm going to live off campus. Okay, you know what they told me? The average cost of an apartment in Seattle, Washington is 600 square feet, $5,500 a month. Yeah. Well, that's $72,000. So Washington is going to have to pay athletes $200,000 a year to be able to play at Washington.
Yeah, that's the things that nobody looks into. You don't consider all the ramifications when you're just saying they deserve to be paid because they're using their name and they're using their likeness. Hey, what were they 2 years ago? A walk-on freshman or a redshirt freshman? This is about going to school and getting an education, and the athletics is what helps support the school.
And who takes all the risk?
Did I read school. That one of the athletic directors at Washington or Washington State said, if California passed that law, we're not going to schedule anybody from California.
No, I can believe that happened.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, Clint's got somebody else.
Because I don't care what happens, it's not going to fly, and it's not going to catch on all over the country. Because what will end up happening is they'll be breaking out and forming their own conference because they won't be able to play in the NCAA.
A stipend for likeness, I have no problem with.
Yeah.
But paying for...
Well, it's Tom talked about the economic impact and so forth. You can say all you want about trying to do that and so forth. Half of the teams in the SEC, half of the athletic programs in the SEC, which is, you know, conference number one out there, half of them lost money last year.
That's amazing with their revenue sharing.
If they don't get – go back to television. If they don't get the money coming in from the SEC network now, which is a cash cow, you know, they're all struggling. And I mean, everybody from top to bottom.
And then that money has to filter down.
It costs so much to do these things, to provide the actual cost of attendance and so forth. Because, you know, people look at, you're not just talking about those guys on the football team. You're talking about all the soccer teams.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the swimming and diving groups. You're talking about tennis. You're talking about everybody.
Here's another little tidbit to throw in there, the cost of what it would be. Okay, you want to get paid? Here you can get paid. Oh, by the way, the charter flight fee for your seat is $500.
That's okay. More than that, I can tell you.
Okay, you paying for every time we fly, you paying for your seat.
You have
because
an off
we got to pay you.
You have an off week this week. You're not going to be playing, so you're going to be sitting home watching the ball games on TV, right? That's $220 a month for cable TV, okay?
Yeah.
So let them taste what it's like to be out in the world and having to support themselves. It's not just like they're going to get $100,000 to use their likeness and that's going to be it. We're going to walk away with it.
Okay, we got to call.
We got to call Clint.
We got quite a few calls. We're banging telephone calls, like Jim Rohn would say, starting things off with Chad.
Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, guys. Man, we got to be very, very ignorant if we think these players haven't been getting paid for since a very, very long time.
Right.
Hey, not just that. The NCAA will not exist in the Big Five conferences.
No.
They will be on their own with all these TV the TV revenue, all these TV stations, ABC, CBS, ESPN is the one that's doing all this. Trust me, guys, the SEC, Big 12, Big 10 is not hurting at all. The top chef at LSU is making over $85,000. okay? These guys are not hurting at all. The NCAA would be obsolete on these big conferences. The only thing that will hurt are the smaller schools.
But it'd be club sports?
Exist. The NCAA will not exist in 5 years in your big conference schools. I guarantee it.
Well, didn't Notre Dame try that several years ago? They signed a TV contract with NBC.
Things have changed several years ago.
Yeah, how did that work out for them,
guys? And first of all, it will not be an even scale. Your soccer players will not be getting paid like your football players. Absolutely.
Well, then
your
why
football,
not?
Your
then,
football
then why
is
not?
The revenue.
They're a student athlete.
Why not? Because it's just. Do you know any soccer players on LSU's team or Michigan's team?
Doesn't matter.
They're not bringing in the money.
No, but if you,
the money, guys.
You're saying it's fair.
It doesn't matter. Title IX. Look at Title IX.
And that's not NCAA rule. Title IX is a federal law.
Federal law.
NCAA will not exist.
Doesn't matter. It's not NCAA. That is a federal law. If you provide something to a male student, you have to provide them to a female student.
Right.
And that's not just athletics. That's anybody across the board.
And even if they break away from the NCAA, if they break away from the NCAA, somebody still has to be the police chief. You still have to have an organization. If all the Power Fives break away, they still have to have some kind of organization say, hey, you can't do that.
But Chad brings up a good point in that you can't arbitrarily determine what you're going to pay which sport. It's got to be equal pay.
No, that's what Dan and I are saying.
That's what he's saying.
That's what Title IX says.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly right. I'm saying it's a valid point he brought up. Yeah, we still banging calls?
Yeah, we're still banging telephone calls. Let's go with one more before we take a break. Right. We got Ryan on the line.
Go get us, Ryan.
How you doing, man? Enjoying the conversation today, guys. Man, I think we're all against the pay. The play is too messy. It's too sticky. Too many sports. Title IX, all that. But I'm all for a person making money off of – I mean, use Alex Bregman, for example, right? Baseball players don't get full scholarship. Am I correct?
Right.
Pretty much,
they
get a portion of one.
So what's wrong with an LSU baseball player, UL baseball player, maybe holding a camp in the summer and making some money off of his likeness? I mean, is that against the rules? How does that fall into line with this?
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think he can hold the camp, but a lot of them work the camp.
Trust me, they get paid a lot more than your minimum wage for the hours.
That's one way that they're able to help them out. You know, like you'll have the Raging Cajun baseball camp, and you'll have Raging Cajun players working the camp, and you know they're going to get paid a flat fee, which may not be $4 an hour.
But he brings up a good point. If you're Alex Bregman and you're playing at LSU, and you want to have your own summer camp, that's got nothing to do with getting paid.
No, you're right.
You're doing your own deal. Just like having, again, I go back to the last call. He agrees with me, I believe, is if we're going to use your likeness, put some money aside from that likeness for us when we finish our college career.
And I'm not sure about that because I'm sure kids like give pitching and hitting, coaching, you know, and
they
all of that.
You know. But there's nothing that – I don't think they can advertise that I'm having an Alex Bregman camp, you know, at LSU.
Right. Okay, we got to take another time out here, but we're going to stay with us, guys. This is fun. We're having a good time. 706-0111, and we'll be back after this short break.
The viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Well, we have definitely touched a nerve tonight with our listeners
I think Mike paying players. Mike Trope kind of flipped the switch on that one, man, from his call it just took off.
Yeah.
Just a thank you, Mike.
But that's okay. You know, we enjoy it. You know, we're having fun tonight. You know, it's 706-0111. We probably ought to try and get on to some LSU stuff because –
Wait, I think
– Oh, we got a caller?
No. I was going to say, you know, sometimes – When you're riding the lightning, sometimes you just hit something. You keep on running with it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, in fact, that's what we've done over the last like probably 20 minutes.
Yeah. Well, it's a good topic. I mean, it needs discussion.
Yeah,
but you could expect that from California to come up with something. But then again,
I mean, this won't be in effect till 2023.
And supposedly, I heard some congressmen say, "Oh, that gives them plenty of time to get their house in order and come up with a plan." No, they're not going to change their plan as far as for reimbursement. Now, the lightness thing, that's got a shot. I think it's got a shot.
Well,
I think that's the biggest thing of it all.
I want to see how that's going to work. I want to see your format. I want to see your documentation of how you're going to have your checks and balances there.
Yeah, because it's not just that you're paying an athlete for their likeness. There's so many more repercussions to the whole financial situation of this when you look at it. I mean, you got to realize if this kid is playing for your university. He is basically your representative for your university. And you want to start paying him because he's a star, okay? Well, okay.
We're not paying him.
I want to know where that money would have gone if it goes to the athlete. What part of the athletic budget is covered by
That's not budgeted in because they don't know what jersey's going to sell. Yeah. They don't even know what jersey they're going to put the name on the next year.
But what part of the athletic department budget will suffer if you give it to the kid?
Absolutely. And you don't have to give it all to the kid. You can say to the kid, I'm giving you 5% on sales.
Well, but what you're not taking into consideration is the rich get richer and the poor get poorer type situation, where what the NCAA has tried to do, as I understand it, particularly like with TV contracts, okay, they're trying to make sure everyone gets their cut of the pie. For instance, App State and UL next Wednesday night, they're going to get TV revenue, okay? If you open this up to where kids that are getting paid for their likeness or their jerseys, those kids are all going to be going to the same schools, and those schools are going to all of a sudden be the only ones being shown on television because the schools are going to start signing their own TV contracts, their own marketing contracts, and it's not going to be governed by anybody. It's going to be 23 Razzoo is what it's going to be. That's just my opinion.
Well, I go back to you have to have a sheriff in town. I don't care who breaks away from who. Somebody's got to oversee. Well,
you're going to put the sheriff out of business is what you're going to do.
You're going to have a new sheriff. You're going to have a sheriff for this group, and you're going to have a sheriff for this group.
You're going to have a sheriff with about four Texas Rangers, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to oversee it because if you don't, then you're going to have one or two or three schools that are going to completely dominate because they're going to get whatever they want to get. It's just like the high school debate over select and non-select. Hey, the worst thing that could happen, and the public school coaches will tell you that, worst thing that can happen is you do a total split. Because if you do a total split, guess what? It's wide open for recruiting. So there's nothing stopping a parochial school from going to get every good athlete they can get. Same thing would happen.
Let's keep in mind that the public schools also recruit. Let's not make it a public parochial thing.
I'm saying that you're taking the gloves off of both of them. They can both go out and recruit.
There's too many programs and too many situations that allow anyone to go to school wherever they want now. That's just a fact.
That's in Lafayette Parish.
Well, it's a fact everywhere,
basically. It's in Jefferson Parish. It's in Rapides Parish.
That's exactly right. It's everywhere. Yeah.
So, but what I'm saying is you have no recruiting laws if you break up the LHSAA, and you would have no laws prohibiting Alabama from loading up on the top talent in the country because they can pay better. Just like the Yankees, Don's Yankees. Yankees can go out and get whoever they want because their payroll is so damn big. And that's what you would have.
Okay. We can agree to disagree. It's not a problem.
Well, we have to because I'm riding home with you. So
that's true. Okay. So you better come to my side before too long.
All right. We'll do that.
Don, if you're listening, we're keeping it sane. We're not fighting.
No. And we did mention the Yankees.
So. We certainly did. We mentioned the Yankees. Will they win or won't they win? I don't know. But
okay. Yeah,
we're at the top of the hour.
The hour, so you hold LSU for the
So we went kind of long on that, but that's okay. You know, we're at the top of the hour, Five Guys Stories and Lies. Tom, Bruce, Glenn, and our situational substitute tonight, Dan McDonald, in for Don.
I'm like that libero in volleyball. I just kind of slide in and so forth because all these people don't even know what the libero is, and that would have to change if you start paying all your athletes.
How do you pronounce that? Libero?
Libero.
Libero.
Libero. L-I-B-E-R-O. Libero.
That's the one that does all the diving and
she
stuff?
Can basically they run can. On and off but the court at any time.
She can run on and off the court anytime she wants.
That's how that works. Yeah. I don't know anything about volleyball.
Five Guys, Stories and Lies. We'll be right back.
live and local. This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. With over 200 combined years of sports coverage in Acadiana, this is a gathering unlike any other.
Well, every week this show looks better to me.
Every week your eyesight gets worse.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies. Here's your host, Don Allen.
Don's not with us tonight. Hopefully he's listening. He's a little under the weather. So we're going to try and carry it the last hour without him. If we can keep Glenn from going into convulsions over Yellowstone not being on the air after the show tonight. So
yeah, but Roswell comes on starting in January, so I'll be
so
all
right. So Roswell will be back. We'll be back to the alien
season.
Invasion.
That's
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
The truth is out there, Tom.
Let's talk about a little LSU football. They're off to a great start also. And Joe Burrow is lighting it up in the new offense.
They are the best story in college football. I don't care what anybody says. With what their complete metamorphosis.
Yeah.
I mean, you look back at what they were since, I mean, going back to the 1958 championship team. You know, they have been this offense. Pretty much, basically, that's what they've done. This is they have flipped it 180 degrees. Yeah. And look what it's created.
Getting that coach from the Saints really just blowing things up has been great.
Well, that's the thing. Somebody had said, you know, if that Texas game, if that had been less there, they got smoked.
A lot of yards and a lot of points. And Burrow is, of course, having a great season so far.
Everybody's so open.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, they're open 5-10 yards.
The thing about
him. The talent's always been there, though.
Yeah.
You know, it just wasn't utilized.
Yeah.
The best part about him is his pocket presence and his accuracy.
He's cocky, too.
Well, you can be that when you can throw like that.
Yeah.
And you can, and you know, I mean, I read a couple of deals where, you know, they got him right now as the Heisman front runner. I don't know about that. I like Hurts. I like Hurts. I like Tua. And I'm sure there's some other ones out there, Clint. But
that guy,
what he's doing, and if he keeps doing it, and if especially if he has a big game against Alabama, man, the sky's the limit.
He reminds me when he takes his helmet off of the comedian Jim Brewer. Remember Jim Brewer? He takes his helmet off and his hair's going everywhere.
Yeah.
I keep waiting for him to do Goat Boy or something.
Burrow?
Yeah.
No, he's Home Alone guy.
Home Alone guy? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Macaulay Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin. That's what he looks like.
I mean, Jalen Hurts is a different player at Oklahoma.
Oh, man, I love that guy.
He looks really, really a lot better. He looks a lot more confident throwing the ball. And he takes off and runs now because this is last year. I don't have to worry about getting hurt. I'm gone. See ya. You know.
He's the kind of guy, you know, he's everything that's good in college football.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say that? I mean, the way he handled a situation
where so many student athletes now are bailing out.
Jumping in the portal, you know, man.
That's it, man. Don't start that, Glenn, on the portal.
I tell you what, that was an ill-conceived idea.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and they didn't realize, a lot of people did not realize the ramifications until it was too late.
Yep.
And it's like, it's like anything else. It's, if you don't think your way through this, people are going to find ways around the rules. You were talking about, one of the callers earlier made mention, says, we're naive if we don't think kids have been making money off some of this type of stuff all along.
Yeah.
Colleges are going to find ways around the rules. They're going to skirt that line and so forth.
Right, exactly.
That's basically the same thing that these guys are doing. They're sort of skirting that line, and I'm going to find me another location where I can maybe not get money for my likeness, but I can possibly win a national championship, and my likeness is going to make a lot of money somewhere down the line.
Glenn, you mentioned during the last break that Leonard Fournette's brother has put himself on the portal.
He left the team today.
Left the team,
that. But, you know, remember who the first guy was where they realized, we got a problem with the portal? Was the backup for Clemson. Who is now starting at Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first one where everybody went, you know, this is opening up a can of worms, because it was after, like, game four. And he says, I'm out of here because it looks like I'm not going to play, which he was right. And he stepped in, and everybody went, that's not the way the portal was supposed to work. That's not we envisioned how the portal works. And then, you know, here comes Burrows and all these guys that transfer and everything else. And every time you turn around, and I would imagine, you know, the Fournette kid, they didn't say where he was going, if he was going to another school or whatever. But the fact that, am I right on that, Dan? If you don't play more than four games, yeah, you're redshirt.
Well, see, you have it's the perfect storm. It's the portal there, and also the new rule about how you can, you know, in certain sports, you can play and still redshirt.
Yeah.
And you can play a significant amount now, and it doesn't matter when you play.
Yeah, but it is four games in football, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it's 30%
or
something.
So you can gauge where you're going to be in that program in four games and then say, hey, I'm out of here, and that's what's happening.
What you can also do and what schools are doing, UL does it. A lot. Everybody does it now. At the end of the year, you've got guys playing that never would have seen the field because people are going to save their redshirt year.
Right.
Well, now all of a sudden, you know, you get to the end of the year, like the last three games of the year, and you haven't played or only played one time, they're going to start putting you in, letting you sort of get experience for the future. And it doesn't cost you a year. Chris Smith's a great example of running back. He got a chance to play a little bit at the end of the year last year, comes back, he didn't lose a year. He's still a freshman.
I think that's good. I like that.
I kind of like that, but it is also it opens that same can of worms when you mix that with the portal rule.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like all of a sudden – you've got it's that perfect storm. A lot of things can happen, and a lot of changes are out there.
A lot of unintended consequences when they came up with this portal stuff.
So my question concerning LSU is, can the defense hold up to SEC competition?
Yes.
I think so.
They're looking pretty dangerous.
Yeah, because
what's that now?
They're looking pretty dangerous as a team right now.
Well, that's my question.
Even defensively.
The reason I think that a lot of these teams – LSU, I think, is a good example. The defenses are having to – it's that – what do they call it in football? Quick change?
Oh, yeah.
They're not just quick changing now on fumbles and interceptions and stuff. They're quick changing every time somebody has the football because they're scoring in a minute and a half. Oop, all of a sudden the defense got to run back out there.
Well, Alabama got caught with that Saturday. I don't know if you saw that, but
– those guys were dead.
They were dead because – who was it they were playing?
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss? Because Ole Miss was, I mean.
Has no secondary.
No, no, but what.
Zero. Exactly.
But what happened was with that young quarterback, I mean, they were going no huddle, and Alabama's trying to run a play in there, and the players can't get off the field because that's how fast Ole Miss is running the plays.
Yeah.
So like Dan said, they're getting winded, and I heard Coach O say today something about, we have to, is that right, Clint? We have to do some things because what's happening is, our defense, our offense is scoring so fast.
Yeah.
Our defense didn't have a chance to
rest. Yeah, four play drive, and you're back
so
out there.
Yeah, so we're having to change some subs and stuff because it's happening so fast. We're scoring too fast.
Here's the long and the short of it. We actually have the full soundbite right here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have to make an adjustment. There's gonna be some times. The biggest thing we got to do is make the adjustment on defense first, as far as. You know, as an example, if we do score very fast, we're going to have to substitute. We're going to have to see the guys that have a lot of wear and tear on them. We have to give them a break that series, and hopefully we can do it that way. If we need a break, we're going to have to run the football and control the clock. But that's not what we want to do right now.
Okay, for all you people.
Go Tigers!
He likes scoring.
For all you people who are not from South Louisiana, we'll have a written transcript that you can pick up tomorrow at the studio here.
Oh, love, baby.
Go Tigers.
Did you understand that?
I did,
Well, I did. I mean, he's talking my language, so I'm fine with that. I can understand that.
Oh, they're definitely looking like a force to be reckoned with. There's no question about that. But once again, you know, who have you played?
My 12-0 is still Texas.
Texas was a decent game.
Texas is overrated, though.
Oh,
they got Utah State this week, and then they get in the conference.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then conference all the way after that, starting with Florida.
But look, he's getting good protection. He's accurate as can be. His pocket presence is unbelievable.
He's managing the game. Huh?
He's turned himself into
more than that.
He turned himself into an NFL pick, just like Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts has turned himself into a legitimate NFL prospect.
Well, there's a reason that they're the highest scoring team in the country right now. He's part of the reason. Yeah. He's a good bit of the reason now.
Oh, there's no doubt.
But that offense has a ton to do with it. You think they'd be scoring 57 points a game, whatever it is right now, if they were running the offense they were running last year? No, it'd be right. About half that.
He's probably made himself as much, if not more, of a pro prospect than Tua. Because
he's bigger, isn't he?
Well, and keep in mind, and it does make a difference with some teams, he's left-handed. So your team becomes left-hand oriented rather than right-hand oriented.
Which changes your key tackle.
Yeah, and it changes the way the receivers catch the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let me tell you something. He has some receivers too.
If you're a right-handed receiver and you're throwing to the left side, your left hand becomes your dominant catch hand.
Yeah.
At least that's my opinion. Okay.
Oh yeah. I mean, it changes the whole.
There's a lot of factors that go into
it. Your offense.
Hey, my 12-0 is still alive.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Not about to happen.
Who else is going to be there with him besides Alabama? I don't think anybody.
Well, the teams that they thought
were going to
be there.
I think there are a couple of touchdowns better in Florida.
Auburn is pretty good.
Yeah, Auburn is okay.
They're pretty good.
I'd love to tell you where that game is, but let me tell you, I keep the schedule.
Yeah. How do you possibly read
get
that?
Get out the binoculars.
It's like 10-point tight.
Well, yeah,
they host Auburn. They host Florida and Auburn.
That's right. Yeah, I don't know who did though.
Because Alabama.
I think that there's a big – you can draw a line across the SEC right now way toward the top because I keep seeing every week in the paper that I do a lot of work for, The Advocate, I keep seeing that list of how the SEC ranks, how they rank all the 14 teams. If Mississippi State is in the top seven, that ain't a very good league top to bottom.
Yeah, and even more so –
because I saw them up close.
Even more so this year than in past years because it used to be when you looked at the midline of the SEC – you know, you saw, well, an Arkansas could beat somebody on a given day, or an Ole Miss could beat somebody on a given day.
Now you're looking at
two or three teams at the most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That are just better than everybody
else. Third team
else.
ain't really that close to 1-2.
Yeah, A&M. I'm surprised at A&M. But Auburn's playing well, man. Or like Funny Man Johnson calls them. The team. Yeah. And if you have never watched Funny Man Johnson videos, have you ever seen
him? He's hilarious.
He is hilarious. He goes over to SEC every week after the Alabama game, and I'm telling you, he is, and pretty factual and just entertaining as can be. But anyway, we're getting ready to break again.
Yeah, we're going to get into some Saints talk. That'll make Don happy if he's listening at home. We're going to talk about them Saints. But we'll be right back. Five Guys Stories and Laws, 706-0111.
Now, back to Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
I'll be seeing them Saturday night. Can't wait, man. Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. It's going to be a great night.
I'm the only one.
Tape my theme song.
What?
That I use for my home run call.
Put another dime in
the
jukebox, baby.
Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Who's saying that? Hart?
No, that was Joan Jett.
Joan Jett and the Black Knot. I love rock and roll. Yeah. Put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
No, they get on me because I have no idea who Hart is. Lungs, kidneys. I don't know who those bands are.
But by the way, if you want to go check out Hart this weekend, you can text Ann to 68683. Text Ann to 68683 to enter in for a chance to win some tickets.
Why? Through here?
Yeah, through here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is she giving away greeting meats too?
No, I think it's just tickets.
Oh, well, I already
text
got tickets.
Ann to 68683 once again.
Who's Ann?
That's Ann Wilson is one of the members of Hart.
That's
okay. Yeah. I didn't know. I don't know anything about Hart.
You got no Hart.
I got Hart. I just don't know who Hart is.
You got no Laka.
I got no Laka.
Wow, man. That's unbelievable.
Old line from
you
Rocky.
Don't know you don't know Hart, man.
You ain't got no Laka.
Well, they still give me hell about Miss Kitty. So
let's do our college picks before we move on to the Saints. We do this every week. And actually, with UL, we're all perfect. We've got every game right except Ohio, which we all got wrong. We all picked Ohio thinking that they'd lose that road game. But you know, we'll see what happens this week. So, Bobby's not here, but you got his picks, right, Bruce?
Wait a minute. How we do last week?
Last week, we all got UL right.
Anybody got the scores right?
What was the score, Dan?
37-24, and it wasn't anywhere near that close.
Well, Tom picked 33-24, so he's Tom's probably closer, huh?
Wait, what was the score?
You still want to talk
37-24.
You still want to talk about last week?
I had 38-31. That's pretty close, too.
Yeah, but you were over on the 38.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's good. You said you have Bobby's pick.
I got Bobby's picks. He is going with the Tigers.
No, this is
UL
App
first.
State. Yeah,
UL Appalachian State. He's going with the visitors, 31-24.
Okay. Glenn. Oh well, Bruce. Yeah. While we're with you,
I'm going to go at the risk of just blowing my whole predictions of UL all year. Going with the Cajuns.
Okay.
Just on a home team thing. 27-25.
Okay. Glenn?
Oh, you know what I mean? Yeah, I was thinking about going with the Cajuns until I found out they had a cool front coming in here next week, so the humidity's not going to get to those guys.
That's going to be 88. Instead of 93?
I don't know. You're supposed to be able to tell.
81 high on Tuesday.
81 high on Tuesday.
Yeah, okay. In the 50s, yeah, Monday night.
It's supposed to be kind of nice.
Yeah. All right.
You know, so.
Naturally, I've been sweating my butt off down there on the camera deck where we do the games from, first two games.
You're
now,
not doing
a game. It's going to be cool.
Let's go back to 90 degrees for the next one.
Or 40.
Let me go with App State 24-21.
Okay. I'm going with App State also, and I hope I'm wrong, but I'll go with App State 34-24 because I think the offense can score for sure. And, Dan, you going to make Don's pick for him?
I can because
yeah,
I'm going to go with App State also.
Okay.
Really?
Cajuns have never beaten them.
It's time.
Go 31-21.
31-21. That's a good pick. Yeah, I like that. I wanted to take them, but then I said, nah, I'm going to be logical rather than heartwarming.
I hope I'm wrong.
All right, LSU. LSU plays Utah State. You got Bobby's pick, Bruce.
42-7, the Tigers.
I don't think anybody's going to be picking Utah State, but I may be wrong. And you, Bruce?
I'm in that neighborhood. I'm 45-10. And okay. It depends on how many guys he wants to rest for Florida the next week.
Okay, I got 45-14 LSU.
Okay.
Glenn?
Let me get that right now. I think they're going to hit the average again. I'm close to it. Give me
52.
50. Yeah, you're close. 51. Give me 51-14.
Okay. And for Dan.
I want more than that. I want 58-24.
58-24.
See, that defense, they tire.
Right. Yeah, because they're having to run back out there so quickly.
You want to do the Saints picks, and then we can talk about them?
Okay.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay and the Saints. Bobby.
Bobby is going with the visiting Buccaneers.
Ooh.
28-17.
Wow, that's gutsy.
Gutsy?
Bruce?
What's the
line on that? I don't buy Jameis Winston that many games in a row. I don't know. Just something about it doesn't. They've been playing really well, and they hung 55 on the Rams, but something about the dome and stuff, I'm just not buying it. I'm gonna go Saints. God help me. Let's say. I don't know if he can score that many. Okay, Saints 30-24.
You got a lot of confidence, bro.
Yeah, I had the same thing going through my head. But I'm going to stick with the Saints until they show me that they can't lose. And I'll go with the Saints. But I have trouble thinking that they're going to score a lot of points with Bridgewater also.
Yeah.
But I'm confident with what I've seen of the defense that Winston can't take advantage of them. So I'll go 27-17.
Probably
Saints.
closer yeah. Total score, yeah.
What you say, you were going to stay with the Saints until you saw them get beat?
Yeah.
Yeah, a guy from Tampa Bay just text said, tell Tom, hold my beer. So I'm going with the Bucs.
Going with the Bucs?
Saints can't score enough points. 24-14.
All right.
No, you know what? Change that. 24.
I can't. I wrote an 8.
No, change that to 24-13 because they're going to get two field goals and one.
Okay.
He hadn't scored a touchdown. He had. No.
Yeah. Okay. I understand. Yeah.
Well, I trust Jameis Wilson, Winston, about as far as I can throw him. I'm going to take the Saints 18-14, six field goals.
That's why I added that's two field goals to mine.
That's probably closest than anything. Yeah.
And how did we do on the Saints last week?
Last week, let's see. Myself and Bruce and Bobby all picked the Saints.
And what was my total?
And your total on the Saints was 22-20.
And the final score was 12-10.
12-10. Combined, they scored 22, though.
Yeah, that's all right. That's close. That's good. I like that. Okay. That. You're closest. Okay.
2 point
unfortunately,
margin.
Glenn
margin.
And Don did not have confidence in the Saints.
No, they didn't.
And
no, Don really did.
They were kind of like those two little babies I saw online, one wearing a Cowboy shirt and one wearing a
they
Saints shirt.
Four
and before the
field
game,
goals.
The Cowboys kid was crying, and the little
four
Saints baby
goals.
Said, "Don't cry. The game hadn't started yet." And then after the game, the little baby said, "You can stop crying now. The game's over."
Four okay? field goals.
How about them Saints?
Four oh, field yeah. goals.
What was the score?
Somebody better tell them they need some
what
touchdowns.
What was the score?
Somebody needs to tell them to get a score.
Look
touchdown.
At the scoreboard.
No, only when the NFL starts playing like the colleges do and actually bring the game into the 21st century.
I think they get,
that's
they,
when
they
they'll score
to
points.
Do it, yeah.
But the best thing about the Saints game was that after the game, all the fans filing out of the Superdome by the hordes were listening to the music being blared over the speakers, which was "Mama, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys." It was awesome. We've got another commercial break here, and we'll be back on Five Guys Stories and Lies, 706-0111. We'll talk Saints when we come back.
Our nation's
they're here to tell it like it is and how it was. This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
We're still here. We're still going after it. 706-0111, Five Guys Stories and Lies, Bruce, Tom, Glenn, and, of course, our guest, Dan McDonnell. Let's spend a couple minutes on the Saints. You know, we got to talk about them Saints, man. They beat the Cowboys. That's a big win for the New Orleans, particularly with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback.
Made Bruce's day, man. Cowboys.
Bruce is failing to talk to
Bruce,
us today.
That's your team.
We got a caller? Clint.
Yeah, we got a caller. We got a very special guest in the ARCO Equipment Hotline.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I think you might know who this is.
He thought you'd get rid of me that easily?
Well, we were trying. You know, we even got Dan to do the picks for you, you know, because you were doing so badly on him.
No. I've got my own picks.
Okay. All right. Go with it, man.
That's a Don we know.
Yeah. Give us a Raging Cajun pick.
So now we have six. Go ahead.
Oh, I don't know. How about 45-39?
45-39. Who wins?
Cajuns.
Go ahead, man. I like that.
You mean you guys didn't pick them?
Bruce
I didn't
did.
Pick them for you.
Bruce did.
Bruce did.
Yeah,
you
Bruce
didn't,
picked
you didn't
them.
Pick
I didn't pick them.
Yeah, Dan picked App State for you. So yeah. We'll see who's the
good
better
job.
Don, Dan or
good
Don.
Job, good job, Bruce.
All right, what about LSU?
Are they playing this week?
Playing Utah State.
So they have a bye.
I know nothing about Utah State, I'll be honest.
Well, we don't either.
Okay, how about, I don't know.
Hang on.
Their stadium is over 5,000 feet up as far as elevation.
LSU's a 28-point favorite.
Well, Don's got you. Don's got you 58-24.
Why did just 28?
Dan's got you, Don.
I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and stay with that. That's
okay.
Good.
58-24. And then how about the Saints with Tampa Bay?
At home.
It doesn't matter if we check.
Well, Dan has you picking the Saints to win 18-14 on six field goals.
Teddy Bridgewater is going to lead into half of the field goal? That's what you're thinking?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's
yeah.
a lot of – yeah, yeah.
I got all the confidence in the world in Will Lutz.
Of course, that means they have to get within field goal range six times.
I got some turnovers to do that, though.
No, I got Teddy leading two field goals and us getting a pick six.
So. Now, 31-15.
Who?
31-15?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Ooh, man.
No, I can't believe that.
Well, okay. Winston's starting to be a player for the last few weeks.
Yeah,
they've got two great receivers, and they've got the number one defense against the run in the NFL.
Ooh.
Yeah, but he'll get arrested at some point.
Wow.
Who are you talking about, me?
I think
Jameis Winston.
Yeah.
Famous Jameis.
He's not going to get arrested.
It's happened twice. It's like,
yeah, third time's a charm, man. You know, maybe he'll get kicked out for the rest of the year, like the linebacker Perfect. How do you think?
What a moron, huh?
Yeah, really.
Idiot.
He's already had three strong penalties against him, and the NFL basically told him, if this happens again, we're going to make an example out of you, and they are. They ought to just kick him out of the league.
He ran off the field smiling with his thumbs up to the crowd the other day.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
They counted it up. He's like had 17 personal penalties.
Jesus.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah, all by himself.
How you doing, dude?
Hey, I'm hanging in. I'll be all right.
That's all any of us are doing. We're sorry you're not here tonight, but we're trying to carry it for you. You know, and
I think you did that, and I think Clint said you had a bunch of phone calls on the fair play thing in California.
Yeah, we did. We did. We had several phone calls and a lot of good points.
Hit a nerve.
You know, except no one can convince Glenn that it's a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Thank you. It is not a bad idea.
Well, we knew that you'd agree with him.
It is a good idea.
Well, I think it's going to destroy college athletics.
Not just the energy.
Oh, damn, really? I don't think so, Tom. I mean, they've been trying to destroy college athletics, professional athletics, for a long time. And this isn't going to do it. There have to be some changes made. I think if this sweeps nationwide. But if and please correct me, because y'all probably knew a lot more about it than I do. But right now, this is not a nationwide thing. It's strictly California, right?
Right. Well, somebody has to take the counterpoint. You know, I'm always game for that. Point, counterpoint.
I understand that. And I'm really upset about Glenn is agreeing with me. But, you know, it is not a bad idea. It is a good idea.
It just all depends on how it plays out and what they allow and what they don't allow, I think. You know.
No, you're right. There's still a lot that has to be decided.
But the California thing is a total loss. You know, that's just ridiculous.
If it's limited to just merchandise and likeness, there's nothing wrong with what they're proposing. If they branch into play for pay, then we got a problem.
There could very well be. But you know what? There's enough time to talk about that later. So you guys are having fun, right?
Yep, we are. Are we keeping you awake?
Yeah, it's just almost 8 o'clock, isn't it?
We'll eat an extra breakfast for you tonight when
there
this is over.
There should be a pretty good baseball game on right now.
You're not watching a game? No, Yankees not playing.
It's 1-0 Tampa Bay in the second.
Oh, just a second? Oh, we'll be able to catch a lot of
it. You checking out the competition?
Yeah, Oakland is just packed. That stadium is just packed.
Wow. Well, Washington was last night, man. That was pretty fun to watch. I caught the end of it, you know. But.
Oh, that poor right fielder.
Yeah. Did you think the ball hopped a little bit when it hit the ground?
No, because his glove passed over it.
Okay.
Hey, all I know is a Lafayette guy scored the run.
That's it.
That's all he did was go in and pitch run.
Yeah.
But
Andrew Stevenson, huh? St. Thomas More. Yeah. So that got a lot of news locally. Yeah. That's good. Well, all right, Don. Well, I'm glad you called in, man.
You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks, Don. You do the same. Take care of yourself, and we'll see you next week.
Get well.
You got it. Adios.
We'll check in. Thanks. All right. Bye-bye. So Saints and Buccaneers. The Saints are looking good defensively, I have to admit. They're looking a lot improved, a lot better. You know, I made that comment about UL earlier in the year when Don asked me after I had gone to the game, the home game against, I can't remember who it was, maybe it was
Liberty.
Yeah. You know, how did they look? You know, let's see, how did they look after the Texas Southern? And I said, Don, you know, They just look more cohesive, more organized. They look like they know what they want to do. Are they perfect? No. And now 4 weeks into the season, I think they look even better, you know. And I think the Saints have made those kind of strides on defense. I think they're a much better defensive team than they were last year.
A tremendous run-stopping team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they got I didn't realize they got Sheldon Rankins back last week. Yeah. He played a little bit. Not a lot, but he played a little bit. He actually got in there and played a little bit. So getting him back, and then I saw where Peyton made the comment that Davenport, the first-round pick from last year, they said that he's playing much more consistent now, you know, and looking a lot better. You know, a couple of times he got in there and almost got a sack. You know,
if they fool around and win the division, which it's not a very great division right now, they fool around winning the division, this may be Peyton's best coaching job.
Oh, without a doubt, you know, without a doubt.
If you can hold them together until Drew gets back, I mean, the guy's coaching his buns off right now.
It's still going to boil down to the other cornerback, you know, whoever's over there, Eli Apple or P.J. Williams or whatever. You know, Lattimore had a good game and showed what he's capable of doing against Dallas. Mm. But they're just not real good at the other side. You know, just it's going to depend on who the second receiver is, I guess.
It's tough when you have a cornerback that has to be protected.
Yes, exactly.
Then you got to make compensation and, you know, move people around.
And linebacker, how hurt is Anzalone? Is he going to be back this year or is he out for the year?
The Lion King?
The linebacker. Yeah, the long blonde-haired kid. Yeah. Is he out for the year, Clint?
I think he's on the IR, but I wouldn't be surprised if they shut him down for the whole year.
Yeah, other than Mario Davis, I think
Mario Davis is a beast.
Oh, he's something, man. Other than him, I think they're just a little bit questionable at some of the other linebacker spots, but
another
they've been getting good play.
Guy. Huh? Another Sunbelt guy.
He's a beast, like Clint said. He is something else, man.
And it helps matters that you have like probably one of the best defensive lines in all of the NFL. Power the way five. I've seen from them with David Onyemata has definitely changed things. Sheldon Rankins finally back. Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport. I feel like this is probably the toughest front seven in the NFC South.
Yeah, that defensive front is definitely, you know, kind of controlling the defensive effort right now. And that's helping the cornerbacks because they're getting able to put pressure on the quarterbacks or whatever. You know, so we'll see. Glenn doesn't want to talk about the Saints.
No, can you tell that Tom hit Clint's sweet spot there? Clint loves you love talking Saints.
Well, hey, who doesn't love talking Saints?
Somebody's got to do it, right?
Of course. Oh, I mean, we're in Lafayette, Louisiana. How can we not talk about the New Orleans Saints?
Well, Don will be back here next week. No.
Don will put an end to that. Huh? Don will put an end to that, yeah. Speaking of Lafayette, Louisiana, Bruce, you got to see some of the track meet in the European track meet
with Mondo? World Championships in Doha, Qatar. Have y'all seen that stadium? You just need to watch it just for the stadium.
Is it solid gold?
Oh, my God.
Just saw the skyline over there.
Oh,
man.
It's just fabulous. Fabulous place to run.
Air Emirates, man.
Emirates. It's all that oil money coming in. Anyway, Mondo Duplantis, at the tender age of 19, is second best in the world. Won a silver yesterday. Had the same top height as Sam Kendricks of the United States. But Kendricks won on fewer misses. Mondo jumped 13 times. That's a lot of jumps.
Yeah,
and he cleared five times, and Kendricks was six for six.
Wow.
You know he tried 12 and had six makes. So anyway.
So did he come in earlier, or did he just take more jumps to get
Mondo
over?
Mondo came in actually at 18.8, which was the second height they tried, and Kendricks went every height.
Yeah,
he got a good early height in, and then went from there. So I don't know if strategy had anything to do with it, but just the bottom line is here he is, 19 years old, 1 year out of freshman year in college, 2 years out of high school, and he's essentially tied with the best in the world.
Yeah,
just fabulous.
And he's getting some money from his image. And
well, he can do that.
Sure,
he's out of school
sure.
Now.
He's a professional now, dude. He's got to be. I bet you in Sweden he's
a pop star.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, I heard someone talking. I don't remember where I heard of that, but they were like trying to get on him a little bit. Why is he competing for Sweden and not the United States? His mom is from Sweden.
She's Swedish.
Right. Okay, right. And I don't think people realize that. She was a volleyball player, wasn't she?
Volleyball and track.
Volleyball and track.
Yeah. Better track.
Better track, yeah. And,
so the gene pool in that family is unbelievable.
Right. So yeah. She's from Sweden, so that's why he's competing for Sweden.
The kids went to Sweden in the summertime.
So yeah, yeah.
They'd all go over to Sweden and hang out in Europe. I mean,
yeah, he's a Swedish citizen and a United States citizen.
Yeah, you get a little scope, you know.
Yeah.
Most of us are in this area. You can't imagine things outside the boundaries of our state.
Right.
But they've got another world working.
Well, in European track, I mean, you know, that's a whole different story.
Hey,
if you've ever
been to Stockholm, you'll see why he went over there. That's a beautiful place. I mean, Sweden's just a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah.
And, you know, didn't he compete for them in the Olympics last time? Or was it the World Championship?
No, it was World Championship.
No, World Championship.
Yeah,
World Juniors.
He's a World Junior record holder.
Yeah, yeah.
He was in the World Championships 2 years ago at age 17 and finished ninth. And now he improved that by seven spots.
That's incredible, you know, for his age.
He's just fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
And a great kid, too. I mean, he's really
just
really
a great
bright.
Story. Him and the family,
oh,
the entire family is just a great story.
Yeah, a great athletic family.
We're going to take our last break of the night, and we'll be back to maybe touch a little bit on the prep scene. Bruce has got some things he wants to talk about with high school sports, and we'll do that when we come back right after this timeout.
Viewpoints heard on this program could be considered politically incorrect.
Good thing they're too old to care.
Well, that's easy for you to say.
This is Five Guys Stories and Lies on 103.7 The Game.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
Searching.
Searching for my...
So you made Dan's night.
I was wondering when you were going to break it in there.
You have a lift if you've been to a concert where everybody sings along. Our buddy Don, who's not with us tonight, got to tell the quick story. I did drag him to a concert many years ago when Buffett.
You're probably being literal about that.
Well, yeah,
he
pretty
dragged
much.
Him
pretty
to
much
the concert.
When Buffett was playing in Mobile. And afterwards, his only comment was that after the first couple of bars of the song, he couldn't hear the singing because everybody else in the crowd is singing.
Oh, yeah.
You still have your parrot head license plate?
Oh, yeah.
Do you really?
It's in my truck right now.
Oh, yeah.
How old is that cat?
Just about to turn 69,
that's
I think.
All?
Wow.
Oh, so he's
still going after it.
Born on Christmas Day in 51, 52.
Well, that song made his career.
A lot of songs made his career.
No, that song made his career. That song is what he's known for.
That's the only one that's played on
every station.
Everywhere.
Exactly.
Everywhere.
But true aficionados know every one of his songs.
But he's one of those guys where you could just listen to his music and it's all good.
Did he ever talk about how he came up with the lyrics to that thing?
He was probably wasting away in Margaritaville.
A lot of those songs are based on true life experiences.
I'm sure.
Avoided the draft by going to school in Southern Mississippi. You know, that's where it started.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
He went to Southern Miss?
For a year.
Just to get out of the draft.
Yeah.
Wow.
His number came up low?
I don't even know.
Where's he from? Mississippi?
Yeah. Mobile area.
Oh, I always thought he grew up in the Caribbean.
That's in Alabama, by the way.
I thought he was from the Caribbean,
but I mean,
man.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, we know. We're just hammering you. Big high school game this week, huh, Bruce? The STM hosting Catholic of Baton Rouge. Is that a preview of the state championship game?
That is the state championship.
That's going to be pretty much standing room only around that field.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're lining up now. As a matter of fact, a couple days
early. Lining up to get tickets.
Oh, that's
going to
be fabulous.
Yeah.
You know,
you see what you know, and I thought, like I told y'all, I thought SDM was unbeatable till I saw the Edna Carr score, you know, and they beat Catholic, beat them like 53-14 or something like that. I might be off a little bit.
Been a long time since Carr lost that bad in anything.
I never saw Carr get beat like that.
No, that's
and,
that was
and they're good this year, so
they're good every year.
Whoo, I don't know, must everything had to go wrong for Carr, or are they just that good? I don't know, probably a combination of the two. But, man, is that going to be a game?
Yeah.
Is that the game of the week on TV?
Oh, it better be.
If it's not the Cox Saints game of the week, man, I tell you what, they weren't looking at the schedule real good. Yeah, it's like when Notre Dame and LCA hook up in, what, 3 weeks, we said?
Yeah.
That's going to be a heck of a game. That might be a preview of a state championship game right there as well.
I mean, I'll tell you what, Hightower's not afraid to schedule people.
None of them are. Well, like
at STM, he plays good teams to get into district, you know. He ain't afraid.
The good teams are doing that. I mean, look at Louie with the schedule he carries, and then Pastor Jay last week talking about the teams they're playing.
Yeah.
And, you know, bringing Evangel and all these teams in there. It's like Acadiana. And
some of that, of course, is that some schools don't want to play and get their heads beat in.
Yeah. But think of the PowerPoints. Yeah. For like LCA. Man, the PowerPoints they're going to get from playing Acadiana, Notre Dame, Evangel. I mean, the PowerPoints.
Oh, yeah, just through the roof.
Yeah. They ought to finish really high in the PowerPoints at the end of the year.
Did you see the story on the kids at LCA, the couple of kids that started a GoFundMe page and then doing car washes and stuff?
That was a touching story.
To get the assistant football coach, the 7th and 8th grade football coach, they bought him a new car. He had like a 90 the SUV that they said they could hear him coming from a mile away and kept breaking down on him. And they started the GoFundMe page and they got contributions
cool
and asked for donations. They bought him,
they
hooked up with Sterling Automotive and got him a brand new Terrain, man. And
that's
gave
sweet.
It to him at school.
It was on Facebook. It was very touching. And you watch it. I think they had a video. Didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
They had pictures and a video. And I mean, it's very touching, but two young men in particular started that GoFundMe account and then they got some extra funding and, you got something on that, Clint?
No. I just wanted to say, y'all, bringing up the STM game earlier. Don't forget that's going to be right here on 103.7 The Game, all St. Thomas More Cougar games.
Who calls
that game?
Danny does.
Danny Jones.
Danny Jones.
Okay. That'll be a good game, though, boy. I tell you
how
what.
How many games?
They're probably hoping that it's not on television because that might impact their gate.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to impact
their
gate.
No, that's one of those games where I think you want to
be. You kind of have to. It's that marquee of a matchup. But you were saying, Glenn?
No, what other games y'all have this week?
We got them the Carrancro High on Z1059. We got that game going on. We've got them a Southside Acadiana High. That's going to be
an interesting first meet
over on Mustang 107.1. We've got Lafayette High Mighty Lions in action on the Rewind 97.7 FM. And then the Vermilion Parish Game of the Week. I know Don Allen, he's typically on the call. Hopefully he can get better and be ready to go for Friday night. In that week 5 matchup, VC taking on ERETH.
That ought to be interesting. VC's pretty good.
Yeah, I
think VC can light up a lot of people.
And we'll be starting a GoFundMe page here for Glenn.
I've got a 19-year-old Toyota pickup out there that I'm driving around in. You guys are welcome to start.
We're
going to
be starting a GoFundMe page for Glenn because his bucket list is he wants to take a flight on Grand Emirates Airlines.
Air Emirates.
He wants to take a grand flight on Air Emirates Airlines.
Just one time in my life, I just want to fly first class on Air Emirates. That's it. You know, if I hit the lottery, tickets are
gold gilded cabin.
Huh?
Gold gilded cabin, I'm sure.
Oh, it's unbelievable, man. I'm telling you.
Dan, you got volleyball Friday night?
Volleyball Friday night, live from Earl K. Long Gym on ESPN Plus. The Cajuns take on Appalachian State.
And then they play again Saturday.
They play again Saturday against Coastal Carolina, which is very, very good, getting points in the national poll. They were unbeaten before they went to a tournament in Iowa just a couple weeks ago. They're like 12-2 on the year.
That's back to back home matches?
Yes, Friday and Saturday, both of them at 6:30.
How many people attend those games?
It varies. If it is like a Friday night game, they'll come pretty close to filling it up, 400 or 500.
Really?
I mean, and
it's better than you would think.
Yeah, Earl K. Long does not take a lot of people.
No, to make a lot of noise.
But they had a Monday night game against, I think it was
Southern Mississippi. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a Monday night, so a lot of the students on campus they walked over and went to the game. It was good. It was really nice.
It gets loud.
After that, when's your next? You're not doing App State.
Not doing App State. We don't have a game until November.
Wow.
The homecoming game against Texas State.
Well, thanks for being here, Dan McDonald, Hall of Fame, COSIDA. Broadcaster, like I said, he's got more jobs than the Jamaicans on In Living Color. And we're glad to have him here as our situational substitute.
Yeah, where are my slacks? Did you get some Hager slacks or something?
We don't have Bobby. Didn't make a trip to Goodwill.
We'll take you over to Goodwill after the show.
We'll take you to Goodwill. Yeah. They are unofficial sponsor.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in. We enjoyed having you. Maybe we can catch you on another Wednesday night when you don't have anything going on.
you know, that'd be fun.
Sounds like
thanks
a deal
to you guys who called in tonight and made the show so fun. We appreciate you. For Bruce Brown, Glenn Quibido, Dan McDonald, this is Tom Brown. We hope to have our Don Allen leaderless back next week. Hope take care of yourself. And Bobby Ardoin, who's luxuriously dining in St. Landry Parish tonight with the city council. Thanks again. Five Guys Stories and Lies. We'll see you next week at this time, 6 to 8 p.m. on the game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.